This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Glad you're with us, kicking off hour number two of the rainy Thursday edition of the Budweiser Sports Line. Post New Year's Day bowl game conversation, looking ahead from this point on as well. And our man Rodney Orr, he is the Tider Insider, joining us on our Gibson's Tire Pros guest hotline from Tuscaloosa. How you doing today, Rodney?
Doing well, John, Barry. How about you guys?
We've started talking it over a little bit after having the day off yesterday to watch the bowl games. We've started dissecting Alabama's 35-16 win over Michigan. To you, what were the main talking points from that game?
Well, I think whatever they did at halftime to make their adjustments, which Nick Saban said the nickel, they went to the nickel defense and got a little more experience on the field. And whatever the adjustments were, it certainly paid off, because it was a two totally different halves, in my opinion, especially defensively for Alabama.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, Michigan doesn't score in the second half, shuts them out. It didn't certainly look that way in the first half. I saw an Alabama team that looked like they being pushed around in the offense after the big quick strike to Jerry Jeudy on the first offensive play, kind of got into a rut somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, never really got anything going consistently in the first half. And you watch Michigan. Michigan was gashing Alabama, running the football, kind of maintaining possession a little bit. And, you know, you just got the feel that they were gaining the momentum in the game. And then, you know, at halftime, you come out, it's a 16-14 game. Alabama did manage to keep it close, played pretty good defense in red zone, forced some field goals rather than gave up touchdowns. And, you know, it's Michigan's only up by two. And then, you know, Alabama comes out in the second half and pretty much totally dominates. As we mentioned, they made the adjustments defensively, shut Michigan down. And I didn't think Shea Patterson, the Michigan quarterback, you know, he was a five-star kid coming out of high school a few years ago. And we remember he went to Ole Miss and transferred to Michigan, but fifth-year senior. Shea was not very accurate with the ball yesterday, I didn't think. And, you know, I thought that certainly hurt Michigan in the second half.
Mac Jones, give us an appraisal of him. The numbers were certainly good, and there were a lot of chunk plays. What'd you think of him all in all?
Well, you know, for a guy that has really limited experience, you know, we saw what he did against Auburn, but he had the two pick sixes. But still, he showed a lot of flashes in that game. And then I thought he played extremely well yesterday. He played smart, didn't turn the ball over. Made some throws under duress. I think that was the one thing that really got my attention about Mac, was just how well he made the ball, made throws when there was some pressure that made him move, made him step up in the pocket, made him avoid the rush, still delivered the ball. And if you saw in some of those throws, he threw that ball sometimes before the receiver was even making his break. And that showed a tremendous amount of anticipation. So I thought Mac Jones played extremely well.
Yeah, I did too, Rodney. Obviously, the long passes are the ones that people are talking about, but I thought all in all, you mentioned that point, throwing passes before the receivers were making their break. To me, that's a seasoned veteran kind of quarterback, not a guy that's coming off the bench. I was really impressed with that aspect of his game.
No question about it. I mean, again, some of the throws he made when he had to step up, he wasn't really set, but he got the ball to the receivers, allowed them to make big plays. I thought the throw he made to Jeudy when Alabama was backed up, I think it was a 21-16 game at that point in the fourth quarter, and Alabama's backed up inside but their 10-yard line, and he makes a big throw to Jerry Jeudy for the first down.
Yeah,
and
that was a third down play, if I recall.
It really was. It was a third down. It was a key play in the game. And I think, too, as we're talking about Mac and we're talking about these players, these receivers and all that, once again, I think Steve Sarkisian did a nice job. Some of the play design, some of the routes that they run, you know, certainly helped the receivers get open. And I just thought he did a fantastic job. And not only that, but you mentioned the development of Mac Jones. You know, Sarkisian certainly has obviously had a big role in that as well.
Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. I know you could if we asked you to, but we're only a three-hour show, and I know there's a lot of things to unpack. But overall, your appraisal of the entire year for Alabama, they finish up the year at 11-2, which a whole lot of programs in the country, virtually all the programs in the country, would absolutely cry for. But your thoughts about an 11-2 year for Alabama, how the season unfolded, and as we go into the offseason, the things to look for in the offseason for the Tide?
Well, I think as you look back at this season, I mean, obviously, Alabama fans expect, you know, to play in the playoffs and to compete for the national championship. And I think that was especially the hopes were high this year because the offense was expected to be, you know, through the roof good. And then also wanting revenge with what happened last year in the championship game and all of those things, the motivation. But I think if you'd have told, all three of us would agree, that if you'd have told us that before the season started that Dillon Moses would have gone down and would be out for the year, and you would be starting two true freshman inside backers, and one of those guys, Christian Harris, had never played linebacker in his career in high school. If you'd have told us that and then told us that at some point around the Tennessee game that Tua would suffer an injury that would start to limit him and then be forced out for the rest of the year, I think we'd all kind of shuddered a little bit. And yeah, the fact that they got through 11-2 is pretty amazing given all the injuries. And then I think moving forward as we start to look at it, you know, I think the interesting thing, first of all, is going to be which juniors come back. And, you know, we've already heard Dillon Moses. He's coming back. I think that's a big coup. And then Tua announced this on Monday, which I know we've all got that notice. And then we'll see what happens with Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, Alex Leatherwood. I think Jedrick Wills and Najee Harris are gone. I think Judy's gone. And, again, I say think. That's what I expect on those three. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see what happens with Xavier McKinney. So I think all of those things moving forward are extremely important in terms of how we start to view Alabama's season next year. And then, you know, are there a few tweaks on the coaching staff, which it would not surprise me to see one, two, maybe even three, you know, coaches, whether they move on or whatever it is. I think that that's a possibility as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the norm. Coaches moving on for some one reason or another under Nick Saban. Pretty much that's a given. Rodney, any idea why Tua is waiting until Monday? What's going to happen between now and Monday that's going to make up his mind?
I think he's probably already got his mind made up. I think what it is, okay, I don't know if they traveled back last night or today, or they're traveling back today from the bowl, so it's already Thursday. And I think given that, Friday is probably – they probably want to get into next week is what I kind of anticipated anyway. And I kind of expected maybe it would be the latter part of next week, but he's going on Monday going to announce it. But I also think based on what I've heard – now listen, I want to be – this has not been something that's been officially announced, but supposedly he is going to see another specialist up in New York on Friday for his hip. And again, I don't think that's necessarily going to impact the decision. I'm not really sure exactly all that's involved there in that regard. So there's not much I can say, but that's kind of the scuttlebutt, is he's going to go see another specialist. And then he announces on Monday. So we'll all know then. And I think it'll be very interesting what he decides.
That is interesting. Rodney, you mentioned the coaching ranks at Alabama and whether it'll be stable or not. To that end, yeah, you mentioned it briefly about Pete Golding. Overall, with all the injuries taken into account, including the preseason injuries and guys who never had a snap, overall, your thoughts on just the way he handled this year and the job that he did as defensive coordinator?
Well, you know, the problem with that is answering that, John and Barry, and you guys know, first of all, he had to start five true freshmen at times. So when things don't go well, it's not really what the circumstances are. It's the results with people, as you know. And he's kind of become the whipping boy for a lot of people. And that's all you hear. That's all I hear. I don't know about you guys, but everything's on Golding. And I don't really want to judge him that way because I don't know enough about what's going on. I'm sure Nick Saban and a few others are about the only ones that really know all the answers to those questions about, you know, who's doing the job and who's not. You know, has Golding done a great job based on things I've heard? You know, probably still feeling his way a little bit. Probably still has a ways to go. And I don't think that was necessarily unexpected when they brought him in a couple of years ago. They wanted to develop him and think he has a lot of potential as a defensive coordinator. Would it surprise me if Golding ended up somewhere else? No, I mean, it really would not. Let me rephrase it. Would it surprise me if Alabama had another defensive coordinator next year? It would not, but I don't know that. But like I said, it would not surprise me if they had another defensive coordinator.
Rodney, play salesman for us here. Sell me or try to sell me on why Tua should come back.
Well, again, you know, I wish I had all of the answers there, but I will say this. I think part of it, first of all, there's more to it than money for him. And I know that everybody says, oh, come on. No, I think there is more. You know, John, you know how it is when you're a competitor, you and Barry both. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, if he was a top five definite pick, Tua's not coming back. I mean, that's just the end of it because it would not make any sense one way or the other. But I do think that there's a lot of competitor in him, and he feels like there's unfinished business. I think Tua feels like his career right now at Alabama has not ended. It's not been fulfilled. I think he feels like there's more to do. So I do think that's something that weighs on him and something that now the injury certainly has set him up for that to return. Because I think his stock, if you're an NFL general manager and you see the history of the injuries, the two ankles, and now this very serious hip injury, I mean, it's going to be difficult to pick him a top 15 pick. That's just my opinion based on, you know, talking to a few people and watching the way this thing works. It's kind of a big risk. So he's you even heard Nick Saban earlier this week say that, you know, that even though he got a top 15 grade, that it's probably been impacted by his injury. And so I think Tua wants to come back and position himself. There's a lot of money between being a top 3 pick, top 4 pick, 5 pick, whatever it is, and dropping down to 20. So, I don't know that I can sell you. I'm not capable of it because I don't have all the things, all the information. But I think those are some of the things that he's looking at. He has a chance to come back, finish out his career like he wants to, and then also position himself to move way back up in the draft and you know, be that top pick where he certainly would make a lot more money that would make up for anything he lost this year.
That's well put and well presented. Rodney Orr, TigerInsider.com. That's great stuff. You're starting off the offseason now, the new year after Alabama closes out the season. But still, there is lots to cover, lots to get to, and lots of conversation on the website. Tell people in 2020 how they can access everything you provide.
Yeah, it's TigerInsider.com. It's only $48 a year. You can get instant access with your credit card, or if you prefer, there's an address there to send a check. And it gives you all the premium information. Well, of course, recruiting will be picking back up here in a week or two. Alabama needs to finish strong. We covered that thoroughly, I think, and in the early signing period. And then you have the forum, which, I mean, it's been rocking, guys.
Man,
it's been rocking.
Kidding.
Hey, and Nate Oates basketball and all that stuff, it's really improving. So, I'll leave you guys on this. You didn't say what you think Tua is going to do. I would be interested in a quick. What do you think, John and Barry?
Okay.
What?
You know,
that's a good little gateway,
Rodney.
Here,
but, I mentioned this earlier on the show. I have a wager with a friend of mine that you know. You know this person, Rodney. And I've got a wager with him. And come Monday, I'm going to either pay him or he's paying me. But I just don't believe he's coming back. My friend,
I don't believe so either.
I think he is.
I think he is. I think he's going to go. That friend, you know, some people say that Nick Saban didn't get a bonus for winning the Citrus Bowl. My guess is that who's John's got the wager with, so he'll get a little bit of a bonus out of the
post-Citrus Bowl. I'm going to say this, John. You, after your show here, go hit the street and sell a few more ads because it might help you pay your buddy.
I hear you. Now,
I'm kidding. I think right now I would say he's leaning to coming back, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of sense that. I don't know if you heard the broadcast yesterday. Greg McElroy kind of hinted at that somewhat during the broadcast, but he is by far the most, I don't want to say unusual, but probably one of the more different college players that I think we've ever seen both on and off the field. And that
do you agree with that, Rodney?
What's that?
About him being different, just a different kid.
No question about it. I mean, listen, the championship game a couple of years ago, you remember him walking down the sideline, Saban chewing him out after that interception. There was a miscommunication there between the receivers from the sideline, and he threw the interception, and you remember Saban was scolding him, and he's got his arm around Nick Saban. You remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, and then another time when, if you remember in that game at the end of the game, he was mismanaging the clock, which is, you know, typical for a freshman quarterback that hasn't played. Saban's chewing him out, and they're walking towards the sideline during a timeout, and Tua just pats Saban on the rear. I mean, that's just – I know that's different, but, I mean, he's just a different kid, man. I mean, he's just – he is. And I do think he's got that mentality of that, you know, he's got a lot of pride, and I think that he wants to come back and prove some stuff. Now, again, I don't know what he's going to do, but it won't surprise me at all if Tua returns.
And some other guys following. Yeah, I agree with that statement. I will not be surprised. I mean, I'm not going to go, oh, my Lord, I didn't see that coming. But if I got to go one way or the other, I'm leaning that he's not coming back.
That is great insight, though, Rodney, because, you know, things matter to him in a different way than they do to a lot of guys out there.
Absolutely.
So that'll be interesting to see. Great insight, Rodney, as always. We appreciate the time. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. I appreciate it, guys.
Hey, we'll talk next week, and we'll break down the decision or the announcement next week.
There you go. Look forward to it.
Us too, Rodney. Sounds good.
That's interesting.
We'll be interesting. Yeah, real interesting.
Yep. He, he,